Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show.
Hey, everybody, it's Coach Chris from Play in Faith, and I am excited today. We've got a really fun show. We've got two guests. We have Victoria McKnight and her coach, Josh Epperson, from Southeastern University down in Lakeland, Florida, an NAIA powerhouse in women's basketball. So how's it going today, guys?
Good.
It's great. Yeah.
Yeah,
we got fun. In and let Victoria run a little bit this morning. She's already worked up a sweat,
yeah. So.
Straight for practice. Oh no, right for practice. Well, thanks for taking a little break with us. I know you guys are right in the throes of it. They are practicing. This episode will probably come out a couple weeks after we're talking, but they are a week away from their opening scrimmage. The season is right around the corner. So I'm going to start with Victoria. I just want to tell me a little bit about your role this year on the team, and then maybe a little bit of how you got to Southeastern University in the first place.
Yeah, so my name is Victoria McKnight. I'm currently a junior here at SCU. This will be my third year here. And yeah, I'm normally a stretch four, play a little five in there. So my biggest role, I say, this year is from the leadership perspective. I would say just for me being here and understanding Coach Epperson now is my second year and kind of like what he expects and our standards for the team. My job is to make sure we're going above and beyond those standards. So that's the off the court perspective. And then on the court, working a lot on reading the defense on our pick and rolls. I rebound, like I can defend like a four, can also stop people in the post. So
there you go.
That's my role on the court.
So when you talk a little bit about leading off the court, right? Making people, I think your exactly words were exceeding expectations. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of ways people can lead, right? Sometimes we do it verbally and vocally. Sometimes we do it with our play. So how do you take that leadership role as you move into your junior year to really set the standard for your team?
I would say my biggest thing is servant leadership, mm-hmm. biblical, and being a leader on a team. I would say like just making sure I will always do what I need to do and like not ask anything of anyone else if I wasn't going to do it myself. And also just leading by example, like making sure like people see me and they'll be like, oh, okay, like I need to do that, or she's doing this, so like this is what we're supposed to do, and just making sure we're meeting those standards through that aspect.
Love it. I think it's every coach's dream when your best players are your hardest workers. Good things tend to happen. So I'm going to lean over on Coach a little bit here. So as Victoria kind of moves into that leadership role, what are some things that you look for as your players become leaders? Is this something that you are pushing, or is this something that happens a little bit more organically through their play and character? You know, how do some of these leaders emerge on the team? And maybe what are you expecting from Victoria this year?
Wow, there's a lot in that.
Yeah.
I would say specifically with Victoria, I think hers is very organic. You know, Victoria last year as a sophomore, you know, probably one of the younger players on the team because we only had one freshman last year on the team. So, you know, so she was towards the younger part. But even before the midway of season last year, she was somebody that you knew you could depend on. And it didn't matter if it was something organizationally. It didn't matter if it was something of like just communicating with the team. Or once again, like she talked about, like she was always trying to do the right thing. And having someone like that, that you know you can count on, is important. Yeah. And I think that's the progression is Victoria is and was a great follower first. A lot of us want to lead without being great followers first. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where Victoria started, was she was a great follower, and which allowed her to over time become a great leader too. And I think it's a process for all of us, right? Like it doesn't just bam, all of a sudden I'm a leader. I think it's an ongoing process of that where she is continuing to grow as a leader. And that's been exciting to see, just because some people come in and they're already that type of person and they're already seen that way by their teammates. I feel like Victoria obviously was a leader of high school and things like that, but I think she's continually progressed and grown and is growing. Like it's one of those like moments that's exciting. Like, I love to see her grow as a player, but I even more love seeing how she's continuing to grow as a person and stepping up to take on more of a role. And it's not always me telling her to do it. It's just her naturally seeing things need to be done and she does it. And I think that's a big part of being a leader too, is not always asking, but seeing, hey, this needs to be done for the team and just doing it without being told to.
Yeah, I think that's perfect. And I imagine that's an interesting dynamic at the level you're coaching at, because obviously Victoria was excellent in high school. That's how she got here. We're going to talk to her in a minute about how she got here and some of her background. But most of the athletes that you're recruiting were stars in high school. They were some of the best players in their region, best players in their state. And then they come here, and all their teammates were the best players in the region, best players in their state. And now you're 18 and you have a team full of 21, 22-year-olds. So it's got to be interesting watching some of that emerge over time.
Yeah,
So.
definitely. No, it is. And like you said, it's, I think it's also the toughest transition is you go from being the big fish and your pond there to all of a sudden everybody's that you just allude to, and that's difficult for people to figure out their roles and also to understand that that role might change. Your role as a freshman versus sophomore and a junior and a senior. And even within that, this is the toughest thing probably in college too. Let's say all of a sudden you have a freshman that comes in that may be better than somebody. Are you understanding, hey, I have to step back in my role? And that's got to be difficult too. So and that happens a lot more in college where you're having to constantly reevaluate and change your role too. So that's difficult, I think, for players to do.
Yeah, it takes a lot of maturity, and I think that's kind of what
Yes.
I love about what we're doing, where we always talk about sports as this amazing dress rehearsal for life. And those
Yeah.
dynamics will happen in your careers, in your work, whether you start a business, whether you work for one, whether you work in the school system. Those are part of life, and it's a great place to learn it around the court, right?
Yeah.
So Victoria, obviously you had lots of options. You were a fantastic high school basketball player. So would you walk us just a little through some of your high school career, kind of your playing career, and what led you to Southeastern University?
Yeah, so high school, I was lucky enough that I started since my freshman year. So I would say
And where'd you go to high school again?
Copley High School
That's in
in Copley,
oh.
Ohio.
That's what I thought. You're in Ohio. And for
Yes,
those
Northeast
listening at home,
Ohio.
because our audience is nationwide and hopefully global at some point, Southeastern University is not in Ohio.
Not
It
even
is in
close.
Lakeland, Florida. So that is quite a journey. All right. So I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, of course. So yeah, I'm from Copley, Ohio, and I started my freshman year. Wouldn't say we were the best, but we had three freshmen starting that year, so it was great just to be able to build with those girls and just get better. And then recruiting wise, I would say through AAU, I mean, I think most people don't realize that it's not just high school that's getting recruited. I would say
Oh,
high
sure.
school is where you get recruited the least. Like, you have to go out and you have to go to these camps and you have to go to these showcases and AAU and all that stuff. So obviously where I'm from, it's like big in basketball, but it's pretty small towns,
Sure.
like not a ton of big schools and stuff like right where I am. So it's a little farther. So you kind of have to do a lot of self-recruiting. And I would say my parents were like the absolute biggest help during this. Like,
That's awesome.
hate to admit it, but they knew exactly what they were doing and they knew everything. But yeah,
I'm
so
sure you
my
helped
parents
a little
both
in that
played.
process too, so.
Yeah, I wanted to fight them on it, but they were always right. But yeah, my parents both played college sports, so that was the biggest help, is like they knew like how to get me to college. So a lot of it was self-recruiting. Like, we had to figure out what I wanted and we had to find all these schools that had that and reach out to them and be like, oh, I'm playing here this weekend. Here's my film. Oh, here's my schedule for this tournament. And I feel like that's what a lot of people don't realize, is like how much like you have to get yourself recruited on your own. Like, you have to reach out to coaches.
I think that's a wonderful point, because I think some of the misnomer is, and I see it even in our local middle schools, high schools, where I scored X points in a game and just magically coaches will appear. Maybe back in like the 90s, like when, I don't know, the 2000s, when Coach and I were growing up, you hope there's a couple coaches in the bleachers. And now, with some of those AAU circuits and the club ball, that's really where a lot of that's coming. And like you mentioned, you were very, very proactive and intentional. So what age, I'm just curious, did the switch flip, right? Because I think most little kids say, I'm going to play point guard for the Pacers, I'm going to be the center fielder for the Reds. But at some point it becomes not just a childhood fantasy, it becomes I need to be intentional. I want to do this beyond high school. So at what age did you say, you know what, I want to play beyond high school? Do you remember?
I mean, I would say like from middle school and on, it was always like a known concept that I was like, oh, I want to go somewhere with this, which I also think my dad and like my family is all athletes.
I
But
get
I
it.
would say like it was just a known thing from that point, and I knew he was going to be like helping me through the entire thing. So I would say like definitely freshman year, I feel like my dad sat down and was like, do you want this? And I was like, yes. So from there, we were like, all right, let's find school. So I would say I started my recruiting journey pretty early. I would say I started looking at schools like second half of freshman season. I was looking at schools, and before that, like I knew I was like finding my highlights, making a video. Like I knew I wanted to
This is
go
what you
far with
want.
it. Yeah.
So obviously being in rural Ohio, right? And Copley is like northern Ohio, kind of between like
It's like
Toledo,
30 minutes south
Columbus.
of Cleveland.
Okay. So I thought it's kind of that
Very
way. So we're kind
northeast,
of
yeah.
like rural Indiana, you know, an hour between South Bend, Fort Wayne. So my little one begged and pleaded. We finally let her play travel ball. She's 10, so we got to go to
Yeah.
Fort Wayne or Indy, you know, it was at some point. So obviously your parents are traveling. How did Southeastern University get on your radar from Ohio? And then I'm going to ask Coach how you got on theirs.
Honestly, pretty crazy story. I was just looking up schools. My parents were like, well, like it's gonna be hard to go south. I knew I wanted to go south. And they were like, well, it's kind of hard. Like, no one knows who Victoria McKnight in Copley, Ohio is. Like, it's gonna be a lot harder to try to find schools in the south. And I was kind of like, oh, I'll prove them wrong. So
Such an athlete. I love
I was looking up schools, and I have never heard of Southeastern, never looked it up, didn't know anything about it. No clue. And I was just looking up schools and like must have clicked on something somewhere, and the homepage for Southeastern just popped up on my screen. I think it's a God thing, but it just
Yes.
popped up.
Could be a God
And
wink indeed.
I know. So I just looked into it and I was like, huh, this is everything I like, all the boxes I needed to check is this school. So I was like, okay. So I reached out, couldn't find the email or anything for the coach. So I had like a guy that helped me with recruiting, and I was like, hey, can you do what you need to do and like get me a contact for this school? So he ended up finding the athletic director, Drew Watson, and he sent the email to the coach because it was an interim coach at the time. It was his first week on the job, and I was like the first player he talked to. So after a little bit of talking to him, I like went really well. And so I came down on my visit. And I knew like I had to do all my research before I went on my visit because obviously Ohio and Florida are not close. So I knew I wasn't going to be checking the school out several times. So I kind of needed to know what I wanted going into it. And then I got here and I absolutely loved it. And 2 weeks after I visited, I committed. So.
I love it. I love the intentionality of it. And I think it's a really good lesson for parents at home and young athletes where, look, those who, if you are genetically blessed, you are the 1% of the 1%. And it's, you know, Notre Dame, South Carolina, UConn on your radar. Sure, right? They come from far and wide. For 99.9% of unbelievable athletes, there is some proactive nature to this. So I'm curious on the other side of the table, Coach. So you get a video, you get an email. Like how I imagine there's lots of wonderful basketball players. It's hard to sort them out when they're playing in all these different geographies against different competition. Why Victoria? How'd you know?
Well, so she mentioned I didn't get to recruit her,
True,
but I will
true.
give you the general sense for others because there was another coach there. But every coach does it a little differently. So I'll give you how we do it, and then I'll tell you also how I think others do it, being in a different spot before. Because I used to at Freed Hardeman recruited different than we do here. We recruit nationwide. It's funny that Victoria's a great sample size now because Victoria knows this. Like over half our team next year will be from Ohio. So
Really?
yeah, which is crazy. We're
Is
in
that the
Florida, right? Like,
Victoria
how does that
McKnight
happen?
effect? Is that
Yeah.
it?
And well, Victoria's helped
I mean,
because obviously
probably.
she has enjoyed it here. One of the girls coming in, Carly, had a connection, actually plays with Victoria's sister in travel ball. So, so that's who you know is part of this process too. I have built some strong connections now in Ohio, and so that's helped too. And we've had some success also in Kentucky. So that's, I didn't think Kentucky, but we have to recruit a little different. So one of the things that she talked about is we want to know right off the bat, do you want to be here in Florida? We can't go after random kids in Ohio because they're not going to go to Florida. I mean, although Florida is amazing, we want to know that this
doesn't
is,
hurt.
We want to know that they don't want to stay close to home.
Sure.
Because most female athletes, they just, you know, they're more local is where they're wanting to stay. We're not local. Most of our kids are not. So, so we find out, number one, do you want this? And also that one, we are a strong Christian school.
Sure.
So do you want to be in a Christian school where chapel's a big part of who we are? Like, are you wanting that where we have devotionals as a team? Like, it's an awesome thing if that's what you want, but not everybody wants that. So we are a high academic school or program. Victoria, tell you, we take a lot of pride in the academic side. So I nix a lot of kids out when they get the stuff sent to me if they have a bad GPA.
Sure.
Your high school GPA should be really high. If you're working hard, it's a no-brainer. It should be high. So so we have to filter a lot because we're trying to recruit nationwide. We get film, like you said, we had last week alone, I had two kids send a film from Washington State. I had a couple from California. Like, you get them from all over the place. So it's like, okay, is this random? Are you sending this to thousands of coaches, or
right,
is this secret to us?
And especially so some of those recruiting services, right, where they are just boom, hit a button and your 3-minute Insta reel has been sent to 2,000 coaches, so they're completely blind, right? Sure.
And you know, you might random. I mean, yeah, sometimes we'll look at those, but a lot. My first email back to them, even if they send that, is like, what makes you want Southeastern? You've got to tell me why we're different. So at least
great
it makes
question.
Them research. If they don't respond or their response is very generic, then we just move on. So, but that's kind of the starting point. So you go back to Victoria, like what gets her recruited is all things we talked about earlier. You know, she was very intentional in reaching out and choosing. And like she said, her parents being in support, I think that's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
It is, I think it'd be difficult for a student athlete to do it without some support from their parents. Could they? Yes. But you think about travel ball is very expensive.
Yes. And time consuming. Yeah. Like, I'm 7 days a week in a gym at this point between my three teams. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know,
and
I mean,
and they're 10 and 13. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think what Victoria did is awesome as far as she started looking at what she wanted in schools, and kids need to be. I talked to a travel ball coach yesterday from Tennessee, and he was trying to sell me on all his kids. And I asked him, well, what kids want to come to Florida? He says, I have no clue. I have no kids clue where they want to go. I said, well, these kids are going to be, they're 2027. So their recruiting time has started now.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really heavily. And so I said, that was the step I left him is like, you need to talk to your team and figure out which kids want to come.
Yeah.
We don't have a single kid on our roster that doesn't want to come to Florida. Like, they're not traveling from states away unless that was a big the thing that they wanted. So
sure.
But that's part of the process there. But Victoria is a versatile player. We'll get back to what she said earlier. For us, that's what we look for too. Not only all those other things, we want players that can do multiple things. If all you can do is stand out there and just shoot threes and you can't guard or can't do anything else, can't handle the ball, it's going to limit what you do. Victoria can tell you on our team, like, wait, most of our team can shoot the ball. Like, that's, you better be able to do something else too, other than this, that. So,
yeah, you look at modern basketball, like the whole notion of, I mean, it's very fluid, very positionless. So, yeah, if you can't handle the basketball and do some, got to defend too, that's at any level.
Yeah.
Right? We yell that to our young ones. So obviously, it's got to be an interesting recruiting process because you're getting all of these videos, you're getting kids from all over the country. So when someone sends you some highlights, because I feel like that's getting really big, everyone's got their social media clips, I'm assuming you're going to want to see a little bit more, right?
Like,
I mean, everyone's got a couple highlights. You can make a couple plays, but are you making the extra pass? Are you rotating properly on help side? Are you blocking out? Are you getting on the floor for? And there's so much else we don't see on the highlight reel, right?
That's right. And you know, you need to make sure your highlights are good. Some people, you got to choose the right stuff. And every coach looks for different things. Like, I look for high IQ plays. Like, I hate the videos that come in and show some move where you scored against three people. That actually shows me the opposite of what you might think. Because guess what you should do if you had three people on you? You probably should have passed the ball. But kids are putting it on there thinking, coach, this is awesome. I scored three people on me. I'm like, That's great, but you didn't make the best play. Like there was a better play there as a team person. So, but that's what I look for. Maybe another college coach wants that. I don't know. But
I
like
doubt it,
wide
maybe at
open
the level you
layups.
guys are playing too. Like, I mean, scoring
Right.
against a triple team, like that's not going to happen at a national championship type level, like for many
Right.
kids, right?
Yeah.
So
So there's so many things. I look at, there was a stat that showed that if you can play at the D1 level, your high school team should win 20 or plus more games. Because if you're that level player, your team should elevate to that much, unless you're just on the worst four players ever on your team. So,
yeah.
like, if you're on a team, not so much like when Victoria's a freshman, that's different, right? Like,
Oh
she's
yeah,
not
of course,
going
of
to make her
course.
team win. But when she's a junior, how many games did they win? Like, if they're not at least 500, then also she's in a culture where winning's not that big either. And so we want kids, winning is a skill as well. So we want players that come from winning programs.
Interesting.
Victoria, kind of question with that. How many games did you guys win your junior year? Did it get better as you were going?
Yeah, we were really good my junior and senior year.
Would imagine.
Oh gosh, I would say we definitely won over 20 games.
Nice.
The exact number, not sure. We made
Yeah.
it to regionals.
Nice.
So we're going back to your question. So the great highlight, and then we are going to ask for full game film, and we
Of
want all of
course.
your stats, not just your points per game. I
Of
honestly don't
course.
care about, I mean, I care a little bit. Scoring 1 point a game, that's not good. But I want rebounds, assists, turnovers, free throw percentage, 3-point percentage, field goal percentage, like all that stuff matters. Because then I
Yeah.
can kind of figure out the, totality of the player. And I don't get tricked. I go to the travel ball tournament. I don't watch one game and be like, man, this is the best player ever. But maybe that was her best game ever. Like,
Or a
it's not
favorable
who she.
matchup, or I mean, there's all kinds
Yeah.
that goes into it, right? Sure.
There's a girl, I'm not going to say her name. She ended up at Southeastern, was one of the better players here, not for me, but for another coach. She made nine threes in an AU game up in Louisville. And the coach from Kentucky was watching that game. Offered her on the spot. She played for EYBL team, so that's impressive to do that in EYBL game.
Yeah, for sure.
But she never had another game like that summer. So it stinks for the kid, though. She goes to Kentucky, never gets to see the floor.
Right,
So she
right.
transfers to Western Kentucky because they're excited at Western Kentucky, like, hey, we got a kid from Kentucky.
Right, you get to
She
be
goes
welcomed by
there and doesn't get to
UK.
play there either. So she went way over where she, and she ends up at here and actually never even starts here. At Southeastern, she becomes a kid that was a great player here, but not that. So that's the
Interesting.
one game trick that sometimes you got into this one game where people overshot it by so much.
It's interesting.
So,
I had a good conversation with an athletic director, school very similar profile to yours, up here in Indiana, and talked about this notion of just finding the right fit, where I think we are pumping into the culture D1, 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 where, and that's a wonderful goal and that's a wonderful accomplishment, but there's a lot of other things that are happening that make for a better fit. So I'm curious. So beyond basketball, so Victoria, I know you've got your background a little bit, and I'm going to give her a quick plug. We are super excited. Victoria is going to be one of our mentors here. I can't wait to partner her up with some young athletes to share her wisdom. So obviously, a fantastic basketball player, a wonderful leader. You are studying sports psychology,
I
correct?
am. Yes, I
Yeah. So
am.
tell me a little bit about why sports psychology, and what are you looking to do with that? As an adult, not that you're not an adult, but like as a boring adult like us.
Why sports psychology? I would say just being in sports for so long and just seeing like kind of what the purpose of play and faith is, like seeing that a difference needs to be made and just I just want to be the one that can help those athletes get over mental blocks, get through mental blocks of injuries, their self-confidence, like everything like that. I feel like I've just seen and been through so much throughout all of my sports playing that
Sure.
I just want to be able to like give something back and help people.
I love it. I think we really are trying to focus on not just building better athletes, but building better leaders, because those are skills that are going to translate. No matter how amazing you are, at some point we hang up the jersey, we put the sneakers away, we move on. But these skills can carry us so much further. And you are seeing a lot more burnout. You're seeing a lot more stress and pressure, and some, I think we talked about it when we met, like the statistic that came out, what do most students say they dislike most about youth sports? The number one answer is the car ride home with mom and dad. And that tells you the pressure is just getting a little high. So I think that's a wonderful career. I know you're going to do a lot of fantastic things with it and make a huge difference. So I always run long because I love talking hoops. I love talking about this stuff. I could talk for hours, but we're coming up on the half hour mark. But I want to play a little game with you guys. I asked you each some questions about one another. We're going to see how well you know your coach and how well you know your players here. So I think you guys are in pretty good lockstep here. So, coach, I'm going to ask you, what do you think Victoria said is the thing that you yell at your team most often? Like, if you're going to be yelling in a nice way, of course, in practice, what are you yelling at them?
Well, I think there's two guesses. One, if it's just the most common term, it'd be baseline because after every drill we have to go to baseline. Not because we're running that much. I'm not a huge believer. We do run for mistake stuff. We don't do it a lot compared to most coaches. Now, Victoria may not agree with that, but I don't know. But I think in general that's the case. Or block out. Like this year, I bet I've yelled that so much. So, but it'll be interesting. I'm really intrigued to see what she says. That's gonna be
Didn't
interesting.
say you any of those.
Yeah, so what did you say, Victoria? Do you remember?
I said next play, next play, because he always tells us to have the next play mentality.
I love
I
it.
was thinking more like in games. I went
Okay.
on that route and then get back. That's also in practice.
So, coach, that translates down to my fourth graders too. Get back,
Get back.
stop
Yes.
ball, stop ball.
Yes. Victoria's heard that a couple of times
We're just
too.
trying to get rebounds.
Yeah, block
Yeah, that's
out,
right. You're
block
trying to do the
out.
other thing, the rebounding part.
So
Yeah.
it's funny. We played a team that's a little older than us, my little girls, and like all five of them were a head shorter. We just got killed on the boards. We played all right. And so we're like, we got to do some box out work in practice. And I Googled, I was just curious, like, give me some fresh box out drills. The first thing that came up was a Reddit thread from a college coach that said, "Why the bad word won't my players box out?"
That's
And I think it is like universal. Anyone who's coached age four
right.
to pro screams box out. I like the other one. So let it rain. So what's that one mean, Victoria? Let it
Ooh.
rain.
That's like our motto of the team. We have shirts that say "Let it rain." Has a lot of meanings, honestly.
It
Coach, you
does.
can give like
It
the
feels like a double entendre
it
here.
is.
Okay.
Yeah. So it has a lot of sources. So I don't know if you know this about Lakeland. It rains a lot here.
I'm
So,
a Florida kid. Yeah, I know.
yeah. So that's part of it. And I wanted to, we have a lot of really good shooters. We'll take Victoria, for instance. Victoria can go post you up, but Victoria can shoot it too. And almost literally, Victoria, I think everybody on our team this year can shoot the three. Am I right
I
about that?
agree.
And so it's part of that. Like, let it rain. It also goes to, this is really cool. Victoria's psychology is like, I want our players to play with confidence. So part of it's like that. But we also talk about let it rain is also preparing that preparation mode, talking the biblical part of things of like Noah preparing the ark. We need to be ready and doing all the things so that we can say soundly, let it rain. We're ready for it.
Oh,
And
nice.
rain could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing. Whatever it is, we're prepared because we've done what we need to do. We're doing the work that God wants us to be doing during that time. So
Hey, man, I love it. That's
yeah, so there's
fantastic.
a lot of, like she said, there's a lot of meanings to it. So like
I
you could
know. I
take
was
it
like,
all
ooh,
over
there's
the
like
place.
10 different ways.
I immediately was going with like the double. I'm a writer by trade and a speaker, so like right away, let it rain. I was like, even it's kind of REIGHN, and I was like, oh, okay, or REIGN. It's like, okay, I love it. I love it. So, coach, so what would Victoria say are the best traits that you bring to the team and to the job? Your traits. What's the best thing you're bringing to the table?
Now I'm like, man, Victoria knocked it out of the park last one. Like she was thinking deeper than I was. So
She's a psychologist.
she is. I should have known she would do that. I think in general, I do believe in our team a lot. I think that's the thing that hopefully I give them is that they know that they have somebody that has their back, that is confident in them, and hopefully somebody encourages them. So I think that's the answer she'll give. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, so what would you say his coach is, what's he bringing to the table?
I said how family orientated he is and how he makes it feel like a team and builds us to be strong Christian women and not just basketball players.
Oh,
I love it. I love it.
Aww.
And now, Victoria, what do you think coach thinks are the best traits that you're
Ooh.
bringing to the team?
I would say my leadership, versatility, and organizational skills.
That's
Any of those.
That's basically it. It's like just the compliment about how coachable you were, that you have the mind of a coach, and that you are bringing an excellent work ethic and always working hard. I think that's pretty good. So if Coach, if you were going to get on Victoria's case, right? If you're going to
Yes.
yell at her specifically, what does she think you are yelling at her specifically?
Here's what I said, Victoria. I said that just to look and see if you're like open, because I feel like a lot of times I'll get onto her, like she will literally have nobody guarding her, and she'll like pass the ball to something else. I'm like, Victoria, like nobody's on you, like shoot the ball. And so I feel like for her, that's what I, because I don't know. There's not a lot of times that I have to get on to Victoria. Like she'll get on to herself before I even have to, I feel like. So.
So Victoria, what'd you say? Do you remember?
I know, I said rebound.
Oh, that's probably true. I don't know if that's specific to Victoria, though.
They're just screaming rebound, rebound, rebound.
But yeah, I
Please
would
get a
try to
rebound.
rebound. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
That's a good goal. Well, thank you guys for playing along. And it's
Yeah.
obvious that you just have such a fantastic rapport. And just to brag on you guys, it just speaks volumes about the culture that you're building at Southeastern University. It speaks a lot about the type of program that you're running. I'm a big culture guy. Look, we can win some games, we can lose some games, but at the end of the day, winning means a whole heck of a lot more than that winning percentage. And I can just tell that you guys are doing things right and truly building a winning program. So as we kind of ride off into the sunset here, I'll let each of you give some advice. So I'll start with Coach. So for young athletes out there that are looking to play at the next level, from a coach's perspective, what you're looking at, what advice would you have for, maybe late middle school, early high school kids that aren't quite to the recruiting process yet, but think this is something that they want to accomplish and do?
I think the biggest thing they've got to do, and this is regardless of things, but be a great teammate first. That's
Love
putting the
that.
first things first. Go be a great teammate. Don't worry about yourself as much. When we're worried about other people first and you can become a great teammate, everything else will flow from that. God will take care of things. And I would also say that to the parents, like make your child someone that can be a great teammate that makes others around them better. And if you do that, it's going to help you in that time, but it's also going to prepare you for your next steps too. So if you're always doing that, everything else will be from it. If you put the exposure before being a great teammate, if you put your individual stats before it, that is a false gold. It's fool's gold as far as like it's not going to last. It's not going to put you where you need to be long term. At some point, that lesson that you could have learned to be a great teammate wasn't learned. And so making sure that's a priority and keeping that at the forefront entire time in middle school and high school, and even obviously when you get to college, be a great teammate. And that means different things a little bit for everybody, but put that
Sure.
first.
Love it. Fantastic. And so, Victoria, I'm going to phrase yours just a little bit differently. So, I have two young daughters. Both of them are basketball players. My little 10-year-old lives and breathes it. It's the first thing she talks about in the morning. So, what advice would you have for her in terms of how you got to this point, maybe on the court with some of your training, some of your work? Like, what advice would you have for little girls like my daughter that are probably starstruck when they get to meet you?
I would say just the biggest thing is like enjoy it and have fun. Like I feel like now we're seeing that p girls or boys as young as 10 years old are being like put under so much pressure that they have to be this great athlete. Like just
Yeah.
have fun and like do the little things like go shoot with your dad, go to the gym like with your siblings or like just do the little things starting out. And then as you get older, just like trust the process because everyone, like, it's so easy to see, like, your teammates got an email from this school or this school sent them an offer. And you're like, well, why didn't they offer me? Like, it's so hard to, like, not, like, worry about other people's recruiting. Like, every single person that I know or have been around have been recruited different times, different schools, completely different ways. Like, you just have to trust your process and trust, like, that your journey is going to be completely different than everyone else's. And I think a lot of people, like, don't realize that and expect it to be like, oh, well, it's November of my senior year. Like, why don't I know where I'm going? Like, it's just that you have to trust it.
I love it. That is fantastic advice. Well, thank you both so much for sitting down with us. I appreciate you sharing these ideas with all of these parents and youth coaches and young athletes out there. I hope we can continue to make a positive difference. We will absolutely be praying for both of you and the Southeastern University Ball Club this season. And you guys are welcome back anytime. We're going to be following you. But thank you so much for your time today and have an unbelievable season. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for having
Thank
me.
you, Chris.
Thanks for tuning in to the Play in Faith podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit playinfaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just a voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.